You're listening to the Prepared Homestead Podcast, equipping you to build a self-sufficient homestead in uncertain times.
We're your hosts, Sean and Monica Mitzel, coming to you from Sovereign Sunrise Permafarm in the mountains of northern Idaho. We're glad you're with us.
On today's podcast, we are going to do something a little bit different today. We're not going to have our typical segments. We're not going to have success through action. We're not doing a worldview segment because we are recovering from real life.
Yes.
So we're going to kind of give a homestead update and talk about some of the things that we have been doing and a couple other points.
Yeah, just some things that, you know, things that have come up and that we're trying to work through and not getting down, but we're dusting ourselves off.
Well, since
and
you said that,
up.
Let's just start with that one.
All right.
We recently had a pretty significant windstorm for this area. A lot of downed trees, a lot of in the Pacific Northwest, millions without power.
Yeah.
So it was good, and our last podcast actually talked about how our preparedness helped us make that windstorm and that power outage that followed just a mere convenience. So yeah. For more details, you can go back to our last podcast that talks about the power outage specifically.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that happened from that is our well pump went down.
Yeah. Well, what was interesting was normally our
generator
will run our well pump.
Sure. Right.
This last week, it wouldn't. And so that kind of tipped Sean off, like, there's got to be something wrong. There's something wrong with the well pump because it should
it's
not
gonna
be
go
clicking
really
off.
Soon.
Yeah.
And so after the windstorm, it actually kicked back on and everything was fine.
For like 3 or 4 days.
Three
yeah,
or four
3 days.
Day,
3 days, 4 days, something like that. Yeah.
And then it died on us. And so we just experienced that. So we just had a well company come out and not only pull our hand pump, but then pull the submersible pump and all the associated parts with that. And took a look at the system, and I was out there with them quite a bit of the time. One, so I could learn, and two, so I can, you know, figure out what was wrong with our system. And it turns out that we were getting a lot of stray voltage, hence why the generator wouldn't run the pump, first of all. Second, the galvanized pipe that they used to use in the 90s, now everybody's using PVC, if they can, depending on the size of the pump. But the galvanized metal was starting to go bad. There was a lot of electrolysis on there. And so we had to completely
overhaul
and change out all of the piping, all of the wiring, because there were several places, again, you know, inducing more stray voltage, not only with the control unit, but also with the wiring that goes all the way down to the well. By the way, 672 feet.
A lot deeper than we
can
had
imagine
been told.
The expense. Yeah. It was more than we imagined.
It was more than we imagined.
Absolutely. So, but again, so that well pump was sitting in the ground for 17 years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So your average well pump, they say, will last 15 years. So did it do its job? Yes, it did. But it doesn't make it less painful.
No,
right
it was
now.
Pretty painful.
It's pretty painful. Okay. So that's one thing that happened to us that we have to recover from.
Yeah, well, and the beauty of the whole thing is we have water again, and we could get it done. I mean,
yes.
Honestly, over this last couple of days, and then, of course, last week for a couple of days not having water, I have come to really appreciate my hot water, especially in my kitchen, for cooking and cleaning, laundry. I don't know how the original homesteader women survived.
Yeah. And let's be perfectly honest, we're not trying to be homesteaders of the 1800s.
No. I like my modern homestead.
Sure, absolutely. Now, did we have water? Of course, we had water.
We did.
Had water, you know, for drinking, for our animals, you know, for washing. It would have been very painful,
right?
You know,
I mean, to
use, but we had water because
right.
we have lots of you know, our water strategy overall has many different elements.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we
weren't thirsty.
We sure like that, you know, pressurized well water.
Yes, hot water. Hot running showers.
Yes. Okay. So let's move on. That was a little bit discouraging, but we're not going to let that hold us back.
Nope.
Okay, one of the things we did recently, we built a hoop house. It's what I like to call a chicken heated greenhouse, or we just refer to it as the hoop house now. So it's literally a greenhouse that's made and framed. It was made with cattle panels and framed with, you know, 2x4 construction. And we posted some pictures of that on Facebook, on our Facebook page. You want to take a look at that. And it wasn't our design. I got that design from somebody else. I think it was the Southern Prepper.
Mm-hmm.
Southern Prepper Greenhouse. If you Google that, you'll find the design. So we took that, we made it our own, made a little, some modifications, and we're housing all of our
layers
in the hoop house. So all of our layers, or what I call the chicken heated greenhouse, go into the hoop house. And they're doing pretty well in there. So that's where we're overwintering them.
Yeah, and I was very pleasantly, not surprised, but I was very happy to see that even with our massive winds that we had coming through across our pasture, it didn't even wiggle.
Yeah.
It was very sturdy.
And so, that you know, it didn't flip over or anything like that.
No. That would have been a shocker.
And it's also already sustained some decent snow load. Not heavy yet, but decent snow load, and done just fine.
Yep.
Just fine. So we're pretty happy with that design. Relatively inexpensive hoop houses.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that you could do it cheaper than using cattle panel and framing and that kind of thing.
And the heavy plastic that we have.
Yeah, and we bought remnants from greenhouse companies, people that build greenhouses for others, that, you know, the kinds that cost thousands, that we build ours for about $300.
Mm-hmm.
So we buy remnants from them, and that's how we were able to do it so cheaply. All right, so what else? We talked briefly about...
Well, we're wintering over the chickens, but we're also wintering over our goats and our sheep.
Yes.
But they're going into our sacrifice
paddock.
Pastures.
Yeah.
Yeah, our little paddocks. We separated them, and they each have their own... The goats have their barn where Lindy can do the milking and all of that, and then the sheep have a pretty nice...
Again, that same design,
yeah,
but just with a heavy duty tarp on it, and it's a sheep shelter.
Yeah,
and it's sturdy, and it did well in the wind, and it did well with snow load, and everything else.
It did, and they keep nice and toasty warm in there. We obviously modified it a little bit for sheep, making it a little shorter and
right,
and the door a little smaller. But it's really good.
And then other than that, how winterizing? Let's talk about animals just a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Part of wintering over is reducing your animals. So we've been doing a lot of processing.
Yes.
So we've processed our pigs. We've processed a lot of our meat chickens. We still have some to go. We processed the rest of our ducks. And we sold some goats.
Mm-hmm.
And what else? Basically, we're drawing down.
Yeah. For the land. And we did butcher some sheep.
Yes, we butchered some lambs. That's right.
Yeah.
So, you know, like anyone else, I mean, it's hard to take care of animals over the winter, and it costs money because you're supplementing with hay in a lot of cases, unless you have your own hay.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what people do. Is that's why fall is typically when a lot of processing is done, or people are trying to get rid of their animals. You can find all kinds of deals on Craigslist right now.
That's true, and that's what we did last year. We found them right in the middle of winter.
Sure, and people were like, just take
them
away.
Get rid of them. Yeah.
And so that's not a bad way to get started. You just have to plan for it.
Yeah, and then, you know, and when you do winter over whatever animals you do keep, whatever pasture or paddock they have access to, they're going to pretty much destroy it.
Right, that's
hence
why we call it a sacrifice. Exactly.
It's going to be pretty muddy come spring.
Absolutely. So with that, winterizing the animals and our homestead, of course, is the home and our vehicles and all that. So we've done some of that. We've insulated the you know, hydrants and spigots and all that, as far as wintering over, trying to keep pipes from freezing and all of that. We've done some extra insulation in the home and in various areas with doors and
especially windows.
Just, you know, get ready. And we're well into the burn season, so we've already cleaned out our stoves and, and those things. We did that a few months ago, actually. So here we are. We're moving along, and it feels like winter. It sure
it does feel like winter, and it's not even we still have a month before technically winter starts, and it's very cold right now.
It is. We have a cold front that's coming through right now. We're down into the teens at night, so it's pretty cold for the. It's colder than average for this time of year.
Yeah, definitely colder than it was last year. So the other thing that has happened just recently is that we've changed our name.
Right. So we are no longer the Courageous Life Podcast.
We're the Prepared Homestead.
The Prepared Homestead Podcast. So why did we do that?
Well, we did that because we wanted something that more effectively represented what we stand for and what we do
and what we're doing. I mean, sometimes, you know, you have an idea and you start it and you go down a certain path and you think, this is the path I'm going down. Guess what? Things change.
Right.
And you have to be flexible. And that's part of being an entrepreneur is being flexible.
Yeah.
You have to be flexible. You have to be willing to make shifts left or right.
Yeah. And I think probably a year ago it was pretty accurate name for us. I mean, the Courageous Life, you know, we're stepping out from somewhere we didn't even know to do something completely different than we'd ever done in our lives. And, you know, it is when I think about people making drastic changes like that, whether they're homesteading or moving across the world to become a missionary or something, it does take a lot of courage to make a change like that and not just stay in what you know and stay in the comfort zone.
Right.
Which is what we always get caught in if we're not careful.
Sure. And of course, the comfort zone is the enemy.
Yeah.
For those that are trying to do things, you're trying to be proactive and you have big goals.
Yeah. And you should have big goals.
And the comfort zone's the enemy.
Yeah.
The comfort zone's the friend of those that don't have goals and they just kind of mosey along.
Right. And we don't want to live that way, and we don't want you to live that way.
Absolutely. All right, so what else are we going to talk about?
Well, I don't know. Tomorrow's Thanksgiving.
That's a good point.
We could talk about that and just, you know, we don't get to see all of our family. Our son is down spending this Thanksgiving with his girlfriend and their family, which is wonderful. We're so glad that he could have someone like that to spend Thanksgiving with. But we do get to spend it with our daughter and son-in-law and all the rest of the kids that are home and our friends. And the beauty of this year, this is so exciting because it's very different than last year, is that we are actually going to be eating all the meat that we have.
Raised on our permafarm.
Yeah. We raised it. And not only that, all the meat in our freezers. And it's a variety of
meat. You're right. Every bit.
Every bit.
And our freezers are full.
They are. We've got all different types of pork and duck and chicken and rabbit. What else do we have in there? We finished off the last bit of venison.
Maybe a little bit of goat.
We have some goat and we have some sheep, lamb. I think. Yeah, some lamb.
Yeah.
So
there's lamb and mutton.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's exciting when you open up a freezer and you see a lot of meat and know that all of that meat is what you raised. And a lot of it we butchered ourselves.
Right. I might have to wait a little while to even go hunting.
I know.
There's not a lot of room right
there's
now.
There's not space.
So, okay. So what are we going to do for Thanksgiving? Let's talk about it. Let's get down to brass tacks.
Well, I'm brining our turkey that we butchered a couple weeks ago.
I'm going to be frying that puppy up in peanut oil.
Peanut oil, yes. We're frying it up. And then we have a big, giant ham that is from one of our hogs we got butchered. And we are also going to do a couple of ducks.
Fry them.
Yep. We're going to fry them.
We're going to fry a turkey and fry some ducks.
And I'm going to
be great.
Put the ham in there.
I'm pretty excited. Oven.
We're not frying ham.
Right.
That would be weird.
I bet you some people do it.
Maybe. They fry Twinkies, so maybe they can fry ham. I don't know.
Yeah.
And then we've got some really great homemade pies and homemade rolls that are sitting in the pantry right now, waiting to be warmed up tomorrow. Trying to make a lot of things from scratch this year. Not everything can come from our farm yet. this next year, we're making another major push to try and get most of our fruits and vegetables from our own permafarm and hopefully can them and freeze them and do all that. And, so we have it for Thanksgiving and Christmas.
We will make some gains in that area, but we won't get to 100%.
We won't.
It's not going to happen. Probably not for a few years.
Yeah. I mean, it takes
even
some time.
Then, you know, there might be some little specialty things here or there.
Right.
That we, but you know, that's one of the things, you know, that we've been wrestling with is defining what it means to be a homesteader.
Yeah. That is, well, that's a definition that's hard to pin down because it is different for everybody.
It is different. And that we don't mean that in that, like, your truth is your truth and my truth is my truth. We mean that in that the name has many different, you know, levels of meaning, if you will.
Yeah.
You know, some people think back to the 1800s, to the Homestead Act, and that meant a very specific thing where people were able to take over land. They worked it for a certain amount of time and then basically for the government.
Right.
And then they would eventually receive the deed to that land.
Right.
Modern homesteading, you know, means different things to different people. You hear people talk about it differently. It just hasn't been well defined.
Right.
A lot of people just say...
It's like getting back to the land.
Getting back to the land. Well,
yeah.
Well,
what does that mean?
That's a wide open territory right there.
Well, it is. So in some people, it's literally leaving the city and just living out in the country. And maybe they get food from their neighbors. You know, they're buying local. And they're living just a more simple life that's sort of unplugged from the city.
And what they're aiming for is an increased quality of life,
mm-hmm.
and increased time with their family, increased connection with the land.
Yeah, right.
You know, and for Christians, a lot of Christians I talk to is they'll talk about feeling a deeper connection with God,
mm-hmm.
Through working the land, at least being able to see God through creation.
Well, right? Because you're surrounded in God's handiwork. In a city, you're surrounded by man's
handiwork.
if you want to call it that.
So it's kind of an analogy there. But anyway, so I don't know how we got on that. But
I don't know.
So Thanksgiving tomorrow, of course, very thankful. One of the traditions that we do on Thanksgiving is that we will read some of the pilgrims, some of their declarations, some of their speeches, things like that. And then we change that a little bit each year, but we do read something. We will have some type of reading tomorrow that kind of lays out kind of what the pilgrim, you know, what even what they ate,
mm-hmm.
Venison and rabbit and things like
now
that.
Now, we had venison last year.
Did.
This year we won't have any, but we've got our, you know, we're not having wild turkey. But
not having
we have our
turkey.
Nice domesticated turkey that's plump and juicy.
Nice. So. Okay, so we wanted to hit a couple more things. I think this podcast is going to end up being short, but we've been busy. And I think part of that, one of the things that we wanted to talk about is how just everyday life just soaks up your time when you're trying to achieve big goals.
Yes, it really does.
And that's one of the things that we struggle with all the time.
Yeah. And we have, you know, we don't have all of our children at home anymore, but we still have a fairly large family. We still have 5 children at home and between us and then, you know, just the household being large, we have a lot of cooking. We have a lot of animals outside, a lot of cleaning and laundry, coordination that has to happen. And we don't even go a lot of places or do a lot of things. It's just day-to-day life.
That's
it's like
right.
There's always something that comes up. We get up every morning and we have these grand plans and then someone comes in and says, Dad, such and such happened or this has you know, gone wrong or,
the,
you know.
The ute won't, you know, go.
Right.
It's not running.
The ute needs maintenance. The ute, you know, this needs, and it's like there's always
there
something.
Half a day.
Yeah. And this morning we had big plans and, you know, we just expected to meet the
meet
well guys and they would do their thing and then we'd be able to go
get
tires
for the truck.
And no, we did not leave the house at all today because for 10 hours, the guys were working on the well.
Yeah.
And you were outside most of that.
Right. It was quite the production.
Yeah.
Just due to some minor complications.
Yeah.
And I would say, oh, hey, here's one lesson learned. I'll just be truthful about it. You have to be very careful about placement of the things that you're adding onto your homestead with your well. You need to maintain good access. It's funny because I talk about this all the time, access, as far as property. And then I made all the things around the well a little bit too tight, and that caused some problems. It just caused some extra work is what it did.
Yeah.
It didn't stop it. Obviously, we got it done.
Yeah.
But we had to bring in a front loader and push our compost. We have a six-bin big compost bins made out of posts and
it was
that we
beautiful.
Had to push out of the way. And, of course, it cracked them up a little bit. But that's all right. Lesson learned. So make sure you maintain good access to your wellhead.
Yeah. Exactly. So I guess one of the things that we try and encourage each other on, because sometimes Sean will get discouraged about something, I'll get discouraged about something, and we try and encourage each other. It's like, you know what? Yeah, today real life took over everything. But there is always those moments that you can squeeze out. Like right now, you know, our goal this morning was we've got to get a podcast in.
That's right.
And we didn't this morning because life
happens.
Carried us away. And yep. This evening we're like, you know what? Let's get the podcast in. Let's sit down and get it done. So maybe sometimes that's what's required. You can't let just life situations stop you.
Maybe you have to delay vegging out in front of whatever you veg out in front of
right.
at night. And you're like, okay, I just need to veg out.
Right.
Whether that's reading a book or watching a show or something like that. Maybe you need to delay that.
Yeah.
Like we're doing right now.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Both of us probably want to crawl in bed at this point, but we're sitting up here and we're podcasting and getting things done. And that's one of the, I think, can be a challenging aspect of being a parent and especially being a homesteader. There's always something. Always something. And you just sort of have to plan that into your day and be flexible like you were talking about earlier. Flexible. Okay, instead of doing it now, let's do it a little bit later and really stick to those things and be goal-oriented.
Goal-oriented is key. It really is. It's important.
So when you're tired and you're cold and you want to climb in bed, you go, no, I have goals. I have things I want to get done. I'm going to do that.
Done. That's right. And you got a lot of stuff done on websites. And
Yeah. I did a lot of updating on websites and our podcast stuff today. So I was able to accomplish at least some of what I'd wanted to get done today.
Excellent. I think the final thing that we can talk about here is, because you mentioned it, as far as, we get discouraged at different times and we have a tendency to keep each other going, and it's real easy to do that. But the difference between, the difference between, I hate to say it like this, but between winners and losers is that losers, this is terrible, but I don't care. Losers dwell on the things that go wrong.
Right.
And I'm not saying that it's not good to learn lessons.
Of course. You should learn lessons.
Yeah. But losers will tend to just dwell on it like, oh, my well pump went out, it cost so much money, and blah, blah, blah. Winners look forward and go, yeah, that hit us. That hurt.
Mm-hmm.
But let's go. Yeah. Let's go. Let's keep going.
Right. We have goals, we have objectives, we have things we want to do.
Right, and that's kind of what we're hoping to encourage others in.
Yeah, and homesteading, you will always have these things.
Absolutely, and here's the deal. The truth of the matter is we've been on both sides of that. We've been winners and we've been losers. We've let things get us down.
Maybe
in
you've
the
been
past.
A loser. I don't know.
Okay, fine. I've been a loser. I've had a tendency to look back and get discouraged, overly discouraged.
Yeah.
It's easy. Everyone's going to get discouraged. But to look back and let that impact what you're doing right now
right.
or what you're going to do.
Right.
Now, not very often. That's not really us as a whole.
Right. It's not.
So if you're struggling with that, you've got to change your thinking and not dwell on all those mistakes in the past. Or things that go wrong, and just focus on your goals.
Yeah. And, one of the things that you talked about earlier, too, the flexibility thing. Sometimes we're moving along in a path, and we look at it, and we go, I should never have started this in the first place. I should never have done this, or I did it totally the wrong way. we have to be willing to admit we made a mistake and to redirect.
Right. You got to really be willing to cut bait.
Yeah. You just go, you know what? Oh, well, oh, I put so much money. I put so much effort. I put so much time. Well, do you want to keep putting so much effort, money, and time? Or do you just want to stop what you're doing and move on to the right direction?
Yeah.
And again, not getting caught up in the, see, I should never have done that. I made a huge mistake. I'll never be able to do this right. Like, no, you made a mistake. You're human. Move on. And move. Precisely. Move forward.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, so we're going to do our shout out tonight. Our shout out is for Christy in Northern Idaho. Hope you're staying warm and you have a happy Thanksgiving.